Hebrews 11 and 3. Someone read that for me. Hebrews 11 and 3. Do you have that, Sharon? Hebrews 11 and 3. All right. You want to come up here and read that? We'll start right off with Hebrews 11 and 3. We're going to strike down ex nihilo immediately.
By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped.
Well, hold on just a minute. Just go back up to 1 and read all the way through verse 3.
Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith and trust and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony borne to them and obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds, during the successive ages, were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible.
All right, thank you. What we see were not made out of things visible. Why? Everything that we see came from God. It had a source. It didn't come out of nothing. God created all things from Himself. He spoke it into existence. Now, I have a little chronological Bible. Who was talking to me about a chronological Bible the other day? Was that you, Brother Roger?
A couple months ago, yeah.
Okay. This chronological Bible goes back in time, and it starts out with the oldest verse in the Bible, and it goes forward from there. The oldest verse in the Bible is what? John 1 and 1. In the beginning kept on being the Word, and the Word kept on being with God, and the Word was God, or literally, let's translate it from Greek. In beginning kept on being Ho Logos, or Jehovah. Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. And then we have Hebrews 11 and 3. We know that God created things. Now, what the Catholicism said, it took a lot more faith to believe that God created everything out of nothing than that He created and took and created it out of something. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that God created, everything came from God. Okay? John 1 and 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Psalm 92, before the mountains were brought forth and even had formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Okay? Genesis 1, in beginning, literally what? Bereshith. Tell me about that, Brother Stephen. Bereshith. Tell me about Bereshith. Yeah, tell me about that word.
You have to look at your notes
there. Huh? Okay. Bereshith. What is the front of the word? What's on the front of the word? Brother Abe, tell me what's on the front of that word Bereshith. What's on the front? What's the first letter? Huh? Beth. And Beth is what? On page 88 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, what is it? It's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but it's what? It's a preposition. Preposition. And that preposition is equivalent to the English in. I-N. So what do we have here? In. Now, if you go over here in Gesenius Hebrew Grammar, on page 241, it says that there was an ancient Hebrew plural ending. And it says here that word is Roshith. Right here it is. I'm going to put it up to the camera. It's Roshith.
Can you spell that?
There it is, Roshith. It's in Hebrew only.
Can you spell it, please?
It's right. You've got it right in front of you, brother.
R-O-S-H?
Yeah. There it is right in front of you, right? Bereshith. It's right there. The preposition on the front of it is in. And now it's arche, heads or beginnings. In beginnings. Now, the word Bereshith can also be translated there as what, Brother Roger? In what?
In
one of the beginnings. Because it's plural. Okay, in one of the beginnings. All right, now what else? It can also mean in what? In one of the, like Olam.
Eternity.
In one of the eternities. Sometime way back yonder, before we have any idea of time. In one of the beginnings, or one of the eternities past, way out there in the eternities, in Olam, something out there where you can't measure time beyond the measurement of time. Okay? Beyond the measurement of time. Now we have the word bara. Now, Brother Stephen, tell me about the word bara. How do you conjugate that word?
Kalsim. I can't read what it says.
Third person masculine singular. Pamela, very good. Third person masculine singular. Cal what? Cal perfect. Okay, third person masculine singular, who is it?
He.
All right. Perfect tense.
Did.
Okay. All right. Now translate. You tell me what that verb should be translated there, Brother Abe. Bara. Third person masculine singular, cal perfect. How should that be translated? He what?
Completely.
He had created. Now, your Jewish Publication Society said he began to create the heavens and the earth. But does that say that? That does violence to the verb form and to the scriptures altogether. You can leave it off for right now. It reads the time. What we have there is in beginnings, in one of the beginnings, all right, in one of the beginnings, or in beginnings, or in eternity past, had created Elohim. The name Elohim is what? That's the plural form of God. Now your Muslims will say that's a term for high God. We don't believe in three gods. We don't believe in triune God. That's a term. That's a plural term, and it also means great. But that's not what it means, is it? Maybe they're playing with it in Arabic, but that's not what the Hebrew says. What does the Hebrew say? It's a plural. It's not singular. It's not dual, but it's plural. And we have a triune God because man's made in God's triune image, don't we? We know that. We already looked at that in Genesis 1:26. We're going to look at it again in the second chapter. All right. What else? Genesis 1 and 2 now. We ha'aretz. We ha'aretz. Young lady. No, in Hebrew now. We're going to do it in Hebrew. We ha'aretz. Tell me about we ha'aretz. Abe, you're next. Hey, boy, woke him up then. All right. We ha'aretz. That's how the verse starts in Genesis 1 and 2. We is what? Conjunction and. All right. Ha.
Definite
article. Aretz. The earth itself, the dry ground. Okay. We ha'aretz. Hatiyah. Decline or conjugate that verb for me, Brother Roger. No. Conjugate it.
Oh.
Tell me the verb. Tell me the properties of the verb. Conjugate it. It's third person.
Okay.
Third person.
Masculine.
Feminine.
Feminine
singular. Cal. Cal what? The first two Hebrew verbs in the Bible are
perfect.
In perfect tense. Okay. So now tell me how that's translated, Sharon. She had become. Let's be a literalist here. The earth, she had become what? Tohu wavohu. Okay. Now God didn't create the earth that way, did he? No. We know that he didn't create the earth that way. So something happened. All right. Now, the next thing that you see in this chronological Bible is Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Hallel, or Latin, Lucifer. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? And he goes on down here. And then it goes from there to Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth, she had become formless and void. All right? At darkness over the faces of the deep. Now let's read that in Hebrew, because it's beautiful in Hebrew. Because that we're talking about the... Genesis 1 and 2. We're going to get this down right. All right? We haaretz hayata tohu bavohu. We hoshuk el panei tohom. We ruah elohim merichafet. Al panei hamayim. And the earth she had become formless and void. Desolation, confusion, emptiness, and waste. Uselessness, useless matter. And we choshek darkness upon the faces of the Tahom, the deep, now the abyss. And Spirit God of Elohim intensely mourned over, intensely suffered over the faces upon the faces of the waters. All right, now let's go over here to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 4, okay? I beheld the earth, and lo, she had become without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord by His fierce anger.
What verse is that?
That's Jeremiah 4:23-26.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He had established it, He had created not in vain, not in tohu wabohu. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Genesis 2 and verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when they had been created in the day that the Lord God had made the earth and the heavens. There's where we are. Okay, we have to come from the known to the unknown, okay? Now, there's a lot of theories going around today that just simply don't agree with the Bible. That's all she wrote. This ex nihilo business doesn't agree with the Bible. God didn't create the earth out of nothing. He created it from Himself. It came from Him. He spoke it into existence, just like you would spit something out. Spoke it into existence. It was a point of time. What we call the scientists today say the earth was created at one point. That's right. They call it the Big Bang Theory, but without the Big Bang Theory or what else, God spoke it into existence. There was an explosion. We know that the earth exploded forth from God. And it's still traveling. You just take a look at it. It's still traveling. And the Bible says that all it's going apart, and then one of these days what's going to happen, according to the book of Ruth? According to the book, it's going to come back and go back together, all in one piece. And then God will be in you all and in all things. I don't understand everything about that, except that's what the Bible says. Genesis 1 and 30. Genesis 1 and verse 30. Genesis 1 and verse 30.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said that book is written out of chronological order.
The chronological Bible.
Okay. So is...
In other words... The Bible is not in chronological order, is it?
I understand that. What my question is they're put in chronological order by reading Scripture or by manuscripts?
By the manuscripts trying to put down a time element in it.
No, but what I'm saying is by this manuscript was written first, and then...
No, okay. No. We're talking about chronological time order. In time, in chronology, how it was made. Okay? Now, I want to tell you this thing. Now, I looked diligently a while ago, and I looked at home, too, from the Quran, and the Hadith, and the Ahadith, and the Surahs, and everything. I was looking through all that, and one of them says that the Muslims today have no problem with evolution. No problem with it. I do. I have problems with it. Mathematically, it's not sound. That's not a science. You can't prove the evolution of the earth by science. It will disprove it. Okay? It will disprove that, period. So, I mean, they're trying to get along with everybody and pull all people in there. The Bible doesn't say that. Doesn't say that the earth evolved. This scientist up there, another guy was a scientist and physicist and everything that was doing this little thing that you saw that we began with, and he was telling you that the first chapter of the book of Genesis, up to where God created man, that was a long period of time, and that God created the little bitty animals first, and then they evolved, and they came into multifaceted organisms and different things, and God was the author of all of that, and this is what we call what? What do we call that? What is that term? Sharon, do you know what that term is? Marilyn? What's that term? Roger, what is the term?
Intelligent design?
No. What do we call that, Pam? We call it theistic evolution. Theistic evolution, that God is causing things to evolve. And it took millions of years to happen. Now, if the Bible taught that, would be no problem. I wouldn't have no problem with that, but that's not what it says there, is it? Yom is what? He begins out saying, Yom is what? Yom is what?
Night to day.
That's a day. But he says that way back yonder, those first days were millions of years. But he says the Hebrew word yom means a complete cycle of night and day. And the Hebrew day begins when?
Sundown.
It doesn't begin in the morning. Our day doesn't begin in daylight, does it? When does our day begin? The solar calendar. At midnight. That's in the middle of the night, I think. In the middle of the night. I had a real funny little thing happen to me the other night. I guess it was funny. We have some people that live across the street that can't speak English. And they were out in the field out there fooling around doing something. I was out in the backyard, and I saw them out there with the flashlights and everything else. About that period of time, I looked over there, and something ran out of the chicken pen, out of the bottom of it, like a, it was kind of slow moving, like a skunk, and it was very dark, or like a possum. Well, I pulled my pistol out and racked the thing in there, and I go, boom, at this deal over there. This guy goes, oh, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me, out here screaming and hollering out in the field. And then I guess they called on the cell phone and they got the wife, oh, please don't kill my husband and my son is out there. They're trying to catch the goat. And I said, I'm not fooling with them. I said, I'm after that animal over there. Must have had a guilty conscience or something. I don't want to deal with. Maybe that's the way they do down there south of the border or whatever. But they wasn't on my property. But they're afraid I was going to kill them. Fear. Don't ever be afraid to study science and history. As you can see, as you see these books all scattered around here that I brought in here tonight, I'm not afraid to study the Muslim world. From their standpoint, I have more Muslim work from the Muslims than I do from what we call the anti-Muslim standpoint. First of all, I read what they did. If I want to learn about a Jehovah's Witness, you know what I do? I go get their books. How about Herbert Armstrong? I go get his books. How about the Mormons? They got all their books. I read their books. As Mark Twain once said about the Book of Mormon, it was printed chloroform. I might say the same thing about that book right over there. That one there is about the same thing. Anyway, let's go now. We have this standpoint that God created everything in order. God is a God of order, not disorder. He's a God of order. All right. 1:30. Yuli Kol. Chayat. Haaretz. Yuli Kol. Uf. Hashemayim. That's two S-H's in there. Hash Shemaim. Yulikol. Romesh. All Haaretz. Asher Bo Nefesh. Chaya Et. Kol Yerek. Esev. Li'achila. Why he can. And to all. Let's look at this word. Let's break it down now just a little bit. Brother Stephen, right on the front of that word is a U on the front of it, but it is a what, Brother Roger?
Sure.
All right, now let's don't go that way. Let's go to the alphabetical.
Okay.
What letter is it?
It's a vowel.
It's a wow.
Wow.
Okay, a wow. Okay. And a wow, when you got a dot in the middle of it, it becomes a...
double.
It becomes a what?
Ooh.
Wow, with a dot, it becomes a U.
Yeah.
So, ooh. Okay? Ooh. And what is wow? Page 253 in Bound Driver and Brown Driver and Briefs. What is it? That's a conjunction. Okay? And then how about lamets there? What is that lamet? That's a preposition, isn't it? So we got a conjunction, we have a preposition here. Okay? And to, and then we have call. Call is all. Okay? Page 481, that little word describing all things. And to all of the chaya. Now, these chaya, I have beast down there, but what is a better translation than beast? All right? What's better than beast?
Living creatures,
living things. And to all living things, ha'aretz, the earth. Okay, the ha in the front of that is earth. And then we have another little compound word here. We have one, two, three parts in that word, just like on the front. But here, all right, we have yulikol. And that means and to all. Oath. What is an oath? Talk about oaths.
Flappers.
Wing flappers. Womblies. All right? All the womblies. The wing flappers. Patena in the Septuagint. Patenas. All of the wing flappers. Patenas is Greek, of course. Wombly is Lakota. And wing flappers is the same, means the same thing in all those languages, basically. So all the wing flappers, the things that flap their wings and fly in the air of the heavens. Hashemayim. And to all... we keep seeing this little word, yulikol. Ramesh. This is creepy crawler things. These are the creeping ones and the crawling ones. Masculine singular, cow participle. Ramesh. Page 942 is the root of that. Upon, another preposition, page 752. And then we have the word haaretz again. The earth. Asher. We have a particle of relation or a relative particle. Page 81, that Asher, say Asher.
Asher.
All right. And then Bo. All right, that's literally in him. All right, that's a preposition with a suffix. Third person, masculine, singular, suffix on it. In him. A nephesh, a soul, a soul. Souls. Everything has a soul. Nephesh. What's the Greek equivalent to nephesh?
Psyche.
All right. Chaya, living, living creature, living thing. Et, what's et? The sign of the direct object. All right? And also it's the sign of the direct object, but what is it in relation to the Hebrew alphabet? The first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet and everything else is in between. Look at that. And the sign of the direct object in Greek, which is ace, the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. We see action going somewhere. That's what it means. See, action is coming. Life, et, every, green. Yarek, green. This word, it is chloron. Chloron in Greek. Chloron. We get our word right out of Greek. What is that word? Chlorophyll. Chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the blood of
plants.
The blood of plants. The plasma, the blood of plants. Okay? Of every, in Greek it's korton, it's esev here, herb of vegetation, every green herb, Then it says, li'achila, li'achila. Let's look at that word for a minute. The Greek is broson. All right. And it just literally means, that preposition on front of it, it means two or four. All right. Achila, two or four food. For eats, for eating. Why he? And he kept on becoming thus. Things kept on growing thus. All right? Things kept on growing. That's the way the earth. And how did the earth? Were the plants and animals here?
Yes.
What did God do? He calls them to sprout again. Okay? And we're going to see something pretty soon that's going to just come, let's go like that to you. Wow. When you see what the Hebrew says. Wow. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you see the Bible, and if you believe contrary to the Bible, and you see it teaches something straight out, you know what you do? You throw away what you got and start over again. The word hamartia. I taught for 20 years that hamartia meant what?
I wasn't around, so you'll have to give me...
For 20 years, I taught that the word hamartia meant what?
Miss the mark.
Huh? To miss the mark. Does it mean to miss the mark? No. You hear almost every preacher say it means to miss the mark. It does not mean to miss the mark. It means to go out of bounds. What is the word in Greek to miss the mark? Astokio. All right. What is the word in Hebrew to miss the mark? Chata. All right. When Mr. Thayer took the word chata from Hebrew into Greek, he said, oh, it's hamartia. It means to miss the mark. You know what? He wrote the wrong thing down in that lexicon. Regardless of how famous he is, that's one of the most famous common lexicons you have today, but don't believe him when he says hamartia. Go look it up yourself. It comes from amero. It means to go out of bounds and miss the mark. So when I did that, I said, whoa! You know how many sermons I preached with that in it? And I took somebody else's word for it? Study it for yourself. Don't listen to them. Check it out when you see something that's so commonly used. Just go check it out just a little bit. Why y'all? 131. Elohim et kalasher. Asa. Wihene. Tov. Meod. Waihi erev. Waihi voker. Yom hashishi. That sound good? Let's read that again real fast. Vayar Elohim et kal asher asa wihene tov miod wahi erev wahi boker yom hashishi. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? All right. Got that, Brother Roger? Vayar. We talked about this word this morning in Genesis 22 and in the 8th chapter of the book of John. The Gospel according to John. Kata Iwane. Now, what is this word right here? Conjugate that word for me, Brother Roger.
Which one?
The first one, why y'all?
The person asking in singular, consecutive and perfect.
All right. Cal stem. Third person masculine in the singular, while consecutive and perfect, and it's from the cal stem. And it's on page 906 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, isn't it?
So he saw.
And what is the root?
He saw and kept on seeing.
He saw and kept on seeing Elohim. Very good, brother. You got her down. You have that, Brother Abe? You got that one? He saw and kept on seeing. Third person masculine singular, wow, consecutive and perfect. Elohim. Elohim. Now, Elohim means to hear what? The Creator God. The Triune Creator. It does not say, as Islam says and the Muslim world says and the Arabic world says. Now, Arab and Hebrew are sister languages, aren't they? But the Arabs don't believe that there's a triune God, do they? Here, they say, Allah is one. Allah is one. Well, their Allah may be one, but here we have Elohim. This is Elohim. The word Allah, you go all the way back to Kabbalah, you go way back into the period of time when all the pagans, for 1 month, all the pagans would go to the Kabbalah and they would march around that thing for a week to and worship all these idols in there. And one of the idols was Mary and Jesus. Yeah. After Christ. And one of the gods was Allah. And when Muhammad took the whole thing over again, then he had all of them erased except for Jesus and Mary, because he thought that was a good story, I guess. And just Allah, and it's only Allah now, and they come in a black stone. The black stone is what? That they're marching around. It's a meteorite. Okay? Now, it's black, isn't it? Now, what does that black stone mean? You have to have a pilgrimage. That's one of the pillars of the Islam faith. Why do they go there and march around this?
To touch it.
Huh?
To touch it.
Why do they do it?
They go there around, and as they're going around...
Why?
Why?
Why? W-H-Y. Why?
Wasn't it the tomb?
Why, Brother Roger?
So they're kind of giving off their sins.
Their sins, that black stone is absorbing their sins. That's why it's black. All Muslims, only a Muslim can go there. You get killed if you're not. There's not freedom of religion there. You're not going to walk in there if you're Christian or a Buddhist or anybody else. You're going to get killed. You
can't even go visit.
You can't go near there. Okay. Anyway, you walk around this place in there, and if you're a Muslim, one of the reasons you go there is for that stone to absorb your sins. Your sins. Sins. Okay. Let's go on. And he saw Elohim, all which called us all. Yes.
So, in the Muslim faith, the stone is taking on the role of Christ in Christianity, which is...
That's right. That's right. It's a replacement. That's what we call... That's a different type of replacement theology. Yeah. They say that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross of Calvary. There was no reason for him to die on the cross of Calvary. That was a misnomer in history. But all of history says he did. He did. He was buried. Huh?
It's not just a rock. You have to understand. There's nothing but sand around it for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles.
You've been in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. There's no rocks.
Yeah.
And this is a black metal rock.
Yeah.
That they've proven later was a meteorite.
Yeah. All right. Which all, call is all which he had made. He had made. Look at that word I saw. He had made. And behold, good. That's tov. That's spiritually good. What would be the Hebrew? Now, it is kalos in the Septuagint, but they made a mistake. Why is kalos not the word? Kalos. Kappa, alpha, lambda, alpha, omicron, sigma. Why is that not correct? Why agathos should be there? What does agathos? Kalos is good, but what does agos mean? Agathos. What does that mean? Marilyn? Agathos. Pamela? Brother Abe, what does agathos mean?
Pure.
What?
Pure.
Spiritually good. Thank you, young lady. You got A+ for that. Got a smart woman here with you tonight, Mike. Compadre. Agatho, spiritually good. Miod. What's miod mean? This is a little, it means very, very good. Exceedingly good. Overwhelmingly good. Alright? Why he? And he became, look at this word, and he became. How do you conjugate that word, Brother Abe? You look at that word over there? That why he? How do you conjugate that one? What's it say down there? Third what? Third person. Masculine. Well, consecutive and perfect. And he became and kept on becoming. That's the way the day is. We have one day after another. You just make days and years and months and all that kind of stuff. Weeks and whatever. And it became Erev. And that's evening. And he became Voker. Voker means what? Break of day. Voker. Break of day. Yom HaShishi, Yom 6. The Hebrew day begins in the evening. There are theological people today, I just get so aggravated at people because they won't study the Bible. They get all their theories going before they study the Bible. When does the Hebrew day begin? It begins evening. Okay.
6 p.m.
Yeah.
Their time.
Yeah. It begins 6 p.m. in the evening, basically. Okay? But there's a group of theologians today that say that the Bible was corrupted, and that they went from the, when God created the earth, it was in the solar calendar, and now we're going to go back to the lunar calendar. And that's a modern Hebrew idea. What to say? That day actually begins at daybreak. Nowhere does day begin at daybreak, does it? No. No society does it begin at daybreak. All it begins in the middle of the night or in the evening. That's what it is. The Hebrew Bible says that evening and morning became, and then we have a day. All right? 2 and verse 1 now. Now, you have to go to your other Bible because I don't have 2 and verse 1 for you. If you have that, Marilyn, where is your Hebrew Bible? Okay, you might let Sharon look at it. I think we got one up there in the deal up there. I've got to get some more printed. Why Chalu? Okay, why? Let's go on. Why Chalu? Hashemayim. Weharitz. Weikol. Sevayim. Okay. And they caused to be finished. This Elohim did. Elohim caused to be finished. Elohim is what kind of a word, Brother Roger? In number.
God's plural?
Plural. Plural. So now we have the plural idea. Because you know what it's going to tell us? That the triune God that made the triune man had finished. He and they caused to be finished. Third person, masculine, plural, puel stem, while consecutive and perfect. Talah is the root. Hashemayim. Hashemayim. The heavens. Now here, as in Genesis 1 and verse 1. Hashemayim in Genesis 1 and verse 1. What actually does it mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, it means the uplifted waters. But what does it really mean?
The cosmos.
The cosmos. All right. If you really wanted to bring the idea into Greek, you'd have to put the word cosmos. And John 3:16, brother Steve, what does John 3:16 say?
For God so loved the world that he created.
Right there. So God so loved the world, the cosmos. All right. And so here we have in Genesis 1:1, we should have the word cosmos, the whole created universe. All right. The whole created. And God had created the whole created universe. We ha'aretz. And he took the created universe and he placed the earth in exactly the right place there where it could bring forth the life and do all the things. And then it says, and she had become formless and void. Something happened to her. All right? She was created perfect and she became imperfect. And the earth was tainted by the sin of Satan, wasn't it?
Yes.
This is another thing that's very important. God did not create man from a mud doll. Didn't create him from a mud doll. Why didn't God create man from dirt? From dust. But as dust, as he created dust. Brother Roger.
Dirt was corrupted.
The earth was tainted with sin. It was cursed. The earth had been cursed. So God didn't create man from a cursed dust, did he? This is a real, real problem. Hold on, just hold on. He didn't create him from the earth, but from the same source of the earth. And where did all of this come from? Not ex nihilo, but from where? From God himself. These are primary creations. Primary creation, the primary creation of the heavens and the earth came right straight from God. Woof! It came into existence at a punctiliar knife blade, first aorist punctiliar element of time. Okay? And then the earth, she had become formless and void. And so God, now it's going to tell us this, that God had reconstructed the earth, rebuilt the earth. Okay? But right here, when God created man, now he created man after Lucifer had fallen, after Hillel had fallen. But he had tainted the earth, but now he's going to reconstruct the earth, and he makes the earth habitable. So a man. Before that, man wasn't on the earth. But now he's going to put man on a earth that is habitable. It will support him. It can feed him without eating animals, too, by the way. The animals were created for what? Companions. All right, companions, not for food. Okay? And so God is not going to create man out of something that has been tainted, but he creates it as he created the heavens and the earth, as he created the dust, to become dust. Now, that's prophetic. Why is God going to say he created him as the dust to become dust? Why did he say that? Because we have the foreknowledge of God. God knew that man would sin and that he would go to the earth. From as dust you are, and to dirt you shall become. Okay? Let's go on a little bit further. So God did not create man from something that was cursed. Cain in the Garden of Eden. Cain didn't want to bring a blood sacrifice, did he? The blood sacrifice typified what? The Christ principle in the Bible. The blood sacrifice, because it's a living, innocent thing that was going to die for something that was guilty. That's what Jesus did. Okay? Cain would not, and his name is what? Cain, which means what? Gotten. And they thought he was the Christ figure that was born to them. Because in Genesis 3:15, God said that he was going to, of the seed of the woman, that he was going to bring forth the Christ figure, the Savior, the Messiah, Jehovah, the one who shall become. And when he was born in Genesis 4:1, Eve said, now her name wasn't Eve, you know, until when did her name become Eve?
After the fall.
After the fall. Adam gave her a name. Her name was Ishah before the fall, but now her name is Eve, which means what? Living. 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 The mother of all living. Evah, the mother of all living. So now she says, it says that Eve cohabited with Adam, and she caught seed, and she brought forth a child, and she said, look, I have gotten a man, et Jehovah. What's that mean? Even Jehovah. I have gotten Jehovah. Here he is. I've gotten him. But she didn't. That wasn't him. It's going to happen about 4,000 years later. A little bit lost. And he calls to be finished the heavens and the earth and all their armies. Literally. What word comes out of that word right there? What word do you think? It's a Jehovah title. Brother Stephen, do you have any idea that the Jehovah title that comes from this word Tsevaam? 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 What word would come out of that, Roger? Sava, Sava. Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. That's where the word Jehovah Sabaoth from. This is the first root of that word we see right here. Okay? All right, 2 and 2 now. 22. Wakal Elohim Bayom. Ha Shavi. Okay? Melachoto Asher Esau Wayishboth Bayom Hashishivi Mikol Milato Asher Esau. And he had finished. He had tremendously, powerfully finished, is what it says. Tell me about that verb there, Sharon. Conjugate that verb for me.
I don't have it.
Oh, you don't. I am sorry. How about you, Roger?
It's PL.
It's PL stem. What is it?
Powerful.
Third person, masculine, singular. PL, wow, consecutive, and perfect. How should we translate that now? All right. And he powerfully, intensely, powerfully, intensely finished Elohim in day, literally, the seventh. Ha Shishibi. In day seventh. his work, milakto, his work, which he had done, and he rested, in day the seventh, from all, look at that word mem on the front of that word call there. Now we saw you li call, and now we've got me call. What does this mean here, Brother Roger?
Mem is a preposition from.
Okay, from all. That little preposition in front of it. From his work, milakato, from his work, which he had done. Let's look at that word, he had done. Third person, masculine, singular, cal perfect. He had done. That's just like Genesis 1 and 2. She had become. Just like Genesis 1 and 1. In beginnings, he had created. All right? We have these perfect tense verbs. 2 and verse 3. Why varicha? Elohim et yom hashavi y a kadesh oto ki vo shavot mikol milakto milakto asher bara Elohim li a soth. Look at this one here now. Let's see how much time we've got on here. Vaya varika. What's that mean there, Brother Roger? What's the root of it?
Baruch.
Baruch. Baruch's the word of it.
Bless.
Means the bless. The wa on the front of it. What is that? That's a conjunction. That's and. And he blessed. Violently, intensely blessed, and kept on blessing. Look at that word there. That's the PL stem. That's a stem of great force and intensity, okay? He intensely blessed Elohim, the triune creator. Sign of direct object, the day, the seventh. Ha, sha, shavi. The seventh. The day, the seventh. What is this? This is what we call what?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. The Sabbath. The Sabbath, yeah. The Sabbath. Which means what?
Rest. Yeah.
No. No, what does it mean?
Finish.
Means completion. Finish. What's shalom mean? Shalom. Shalom.
Peace be to you or something.
Shalom. What?
Agreement of peace.
It means peace, but it doesn't mean peace. It means agreement. You can't have peace until you have an agreement. The reason why we don't have peace in the Middle East, because we don't have an agreement. So you can never have peace. The Hebrews say shalom, and the Arabs say shalom, and they don't mean it at all. They're lying when it comes out of their mouth. They don't mean that, because there is no agreement. There is no agreement. Okay. Day the seventh. And look at this now. Waya Kadesh. What is the root of this word here, Sharon? Vaya Kadesh. Now, this is right off the top of your head because you don't have it in front of you.
To become?
No, Kadesh.
Kadesh.
Kadesh. To sanctify, to make it holy. To make it holy. Kadesh. To make it holy. Third person masculine singular, PL, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Third person masculine singular is what? He. PL, sim. Powerfully? He powerfully, intensely made it holy. This is before the law, isn't it? Is it or not? Before the law. What period of time are we looking at right now? Huh?
Number one.
Right here. The age of what we call the age of innocence. When God created Adam and put him in the garden. Now the garden... Eden. We're going to get to look at the word Eden pretty soon, too. God, the garden in Eden, okay? The Garden of Eden. We're going to look at that pretty soon. But Eden was, there were two Edens, weren't there? What's the two Edens? Brother Mike, you remember what the two Edens were? Where's the two Edens?
Lucifer,
his throne room was Eden. And now we have man. Adam's throne room was Eden. So we have two throne rooms of the people that are going to rule the physical order of God. And why is man? Now, man is what we call normal, isn't he? I mean, he's not paranormal, is he? Normal means what? He is confined to the normal three dimensions that we see. All right? Hillel was not confined to those, was he? He did have an estate, and he forsook his estate. All right? But he is supernatural. Man is natural. He has to be in the natural order. Now, how did natural man, but natural man is perfect in his creation. Lucifer was perfect in his creation, wasn't he? Now, how was man in his perfect order and natural, phus is the word, in his natural order, how can he rule the universe? Tell me that.
Only by submission to God.
How can he rule the universe? This is before he sinned. How could he rule the universe? This is prophetic.
Only in obedience to God and God's authority.
How is man going to... you're not on the right path. Okay. How is man going to rule the universe, the supernatural universe? And he is a natural man. How is he going to do this?
Prayer.
Huh?
Prayer.
How is he going to do it? Brother Roger.
I don't
know. Abe, you got to get this one. Pam, how is he going to do it? Because God is going to become related to him, and that through the man God, Jesus Christ, he's going to bring all things into harmony again with this man. And God is going to use mankind, Adam, to completely conquer the universe through the person of Jesus Christ. But he's going to be flesh and blood. And he's going to be related to that universe. And God's going to use him to... I hope you caught this. Do you catch what I'm talking about?
I said it 3-4 times. Yeah. I just didn't say the exact words you said.
I want you to understand that he's going to bring, through man, he's going to bring everything back into harmony with him. Now, it's not through man being obedient. Only through one man being obedient. Who was that?
Jesus
Christ.
You were talking about Adam in the garden.
Yeah.
You weren't talking about man here, me.
I'm talking about how did mankind, Adam, as a human nature, how is Adam, a physical man, a natural man, how is he going to rule the universe? Through Jesus Christ, his seed, mankind, the seed of woman, literally. But Adam was the ruler. He was a ruler. He was, everything in the universe was accountable to him. There's a throne room. Eden's a throne room now. All right? This is beautiful. This is a beautiful story right here. Beautiful story. Yes.
Okay, so you and I are talking two different things, because you're talking about man after the fall, and I'm talking about man in the throne room. Man in the throne room, Adam under God's obedience and authority.
I'm talking about the final element. The final element of redemption. The final element of redemption.
So, okay.
Now, J. Lewis Guthrie said that in his God's, the creation of the heaven, Christ and creation. Okay.
My question is, okay, you talk about two Edens. Do you have time to explain where those two verses are in the Bible?
Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. That's where Lucifer ruled from, was the Eden. All right. Oh, Lucifer.
Isaiah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
14,
yeah.
That's one Eden.
Yeah. And then the second Eden is the one that God restored and rebuilt and placed in the earth again. The earth was always the throne room.
And that would have been the garden.
That would have been in the garden.
The garden is the second Eden.
Yeah.
And that garden was perfect?
Eden. We're going to get to that real soon.
Okay, but I'm my question is, that garden perfect? Was that garden...
It was planted by God, but it was planted on a cursed earth. But Adam was supposed to guard the earth from whom? Sin was in the world. Sin was in the universe. Already, sin was in the universe. Who's the author of sin? Who's the beginning author of sin? Lucifer.
That devil you gave me.
Okay. All right. All right, let's go on here now. And he had finished Elohim in the day the seventh, his work which he had made, he had done, and he rested in day the seventh from all of his work which he had done. And he blessed intensely Elohim the day the seventh, and he made it holy, it or him, in him. And he caused or ceased to rest. He completed, actually, from all his work which he had created, Elohim, to reconstruct, to reconstruct, to restore. To reconstruct and to restore, yes.
So, things change.
Yes.
But when I see PL for blessed, and PL for sanctified.
Oh, that's powerful.
I'm thinking if we go and use Sunday, we're doing violence to the Scripture.
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Because
of Catholicism. Because of the Catholic Church.
Right.
The early churches went to church every day. They congregated every day. They went to work and they came home and they assembled and they ate together every day. And they had church every day. We go to church on Sunday simply, absolutely, because of Catholicism. And who was the first one that took the Sabbath? This is what we call the Christian Sabbath. Who did that?
Constantine
in 300 and something A.D. All right, now remember the second time that's the Sabbath. What about the Sabbath?
That Catholic priest.
The Catholic priest had a revelation, and a letter came falling out of heaven and said that he was going to kill everybody, and they hated everybody, and all this kind of stuff, and that you were going to church on the wrong day, and you go to church on Sunday, my Sabbath. That's why we go to church on the Sabbath. Now, in the New Testament, it says, on the first day of the week, what?
Jesus
arose. Take up an offering. Now, people use that for a reason to say, look, on the first day of the week. First day of the week, they said, take up an offering.
Right.
So why did they were supposed to take up an offering? Why?
1 Corinthians 16, verse 2.
Yeah, why were they supposed to take an offering? Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the subject? Who's speaking? Who's
Paul.
Speaking? Paul the Apostle.
Speaking.
Who's he speaking to?
The saints.
No, the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church is who he's talking to. That's 1 and 2 Corinthians, all right? He's speaking to the Corinthian church, and what is he telling them? I'm going to be coming there, and I want you, on the first day of the week, I want you to take up an offering. Now, they were meeting every week, weren't they? Eating, meeting every day. But on the first day of this week, right now, he tells them what? Take up an offering. That is the subject of that. Now, many Christian people say that's why we meet on the first day of the week. It is not true.
Was
that's
that
not
the
true.
Offering for Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the people that were being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is we're going to have a business meeting on the first day of the week. That's a business meeting. That's a business meeting. During this church service, you're going to have a business meeting. You're going to take up a collection. Literally. Okay. Just bite the bullet. That's not... We don't meet on the first day of the week because of that. That's the excuse. We meet on the first day of the week because of the Catholic order. Why do we have blue laws? Why do we have blue laws in the South? Why were the blue laws? You know what a blue law was?
Yeah, so you won't get too drunk.
Huh?
So you won't get too drunk.
What's the blue law, Brother Roger?
No,
to give the horse a break.
What?
To give the horse a break. So the
blue laws. What was the blue law about?
No, I understand. Okay. They would shut down the stores on Sunday.
Everything. Nobody would work on Sunday. But Sunday, why was it Sunday?
So they pull the kids out of the mine and teach them.
Why was it Sunday?
Catholics.
Because of the Catholics. Because of the Catholic order changing the Sabbath to Sunday. Is the Sabbath Sunday?
No.
No. This isn't the Sabbath. This isn't the Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night. That's the Sabbath. That's the Sabbath, period. Never will be anything else. You know what? The Seventh-day Adventists are right about that. They're wrong about everything else, but they're right about that. Okay? Sometimes the cults are right on one point. One point, they're right.
The Sabbath is for the Jewish people. It's for the Jew. It's a remembrance to the world.
Did the Jewish people exist here?
No.
No. This is pre-law. Did all of the saints in the Old Testament observe the Sabbath?
Yes.
Why?
Because
God made that day holy. Is it good for you if you rest one day a week?
Yep.
Yeah. Why do Sunday schools, why were they invented? Instituted by the Baptists?
To educate the kids.
To educate the kids, to get them to come on the Catholic Sabbath. Because Catholicism was so powerful. Catholicism is so powerful. Why do you eat fish on Friday in the restaurants? Catholicism. Why did you have fish all the time on Friday when you went to school? If you're 50 or 60 years old. Brother Mike? Because the Catholics didn't eat meat on Friday, even though fish is meat. But it's all tradition and it's all paganism anyway. Admit when you're a pagan. Admit when you have paganism in your blood. And just know it.
It's just what struck me.
Christmas. Christmas. Easter. All of this, it came from paganism. The original idea. Where did Christmas as we celebrate it today come from?
The Jews.
German Jews.
Incorporated a pagan religion into the Catholic religion.
What we do at Christmas today came from Jewish society. That's where it came from. It came from the what, Brother Roger?
Hanukkah.
What we practice at Christmas today, what did they do at Hanukkah?
They spin the dreidel.
They did all this stuff. They had lights on a menorah. And they lit the lights. They did what? They gave each other gifts. And what else did they do? They sang songs. What do we have? We have an imitation which came from Germany. The Germans imitated the Jews. And they had this Christmas. The same time they had Hanukkah. So what do we got? We have a revision of Hanukkah. That's it. Now, Alexander Hislop will say that it came right out of Babylonia. Some of it did. Jewish tradition came from where? Sure didn't come from the Bible, a lot of it. The Kabbalah, a lot of the Hadith, Islam. But they have the Mishnah and the Talmud. Two Talmuds, the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud, and the Mishnah. This is all traditions. It's all stuff that handed down that has nothing to do with the Bible. You want to study the Bible. That's what we're doing here. We're studying the Bible. Not studying traditions. We're studying the Bible. We're letting the Bible blow up traditions. Boom! Blast them! Just like clay pigeons going through there. When you hit them dead on, what do? They disappear. We need to disappear the Christian Sabbath. Didn't come from God. It comes from Catholicism. Two orders of Catholicism. All right? I don't take... Sunday is not the Sabbath to me, even though I did lay down and rest today for a few minutes, about an hour and a half. I laid down, boy, I went horizontal. I was wore plumb out in between here. That cesspool like to kill me. Blow up these myths. Blow them up. Paul said what? Don't go after myths. Told Timothy, don't follow myths. Don't follow traditions of the fathers. Okay? Going a little bit further here, maybe. Got a couple of more minutes. Do you have any questions right now? Karen, do you have a question?
No.
Mike, you got a question?
Can you turn on the cooler?
No, it's all right now. Sharon, we'll get to you too. Marilyn.
On the way home.
Oh, God. Brother Steve.
If you have time, either today or next time, would you break down Elohim in Hebrew, the letter by letter, what it means?
All right.
I don't need to do it right now.
Elohim. The end. I want to have one of the students do that. They don't need me. Break down Elohim, Brother Roger.
El is God.
Mm-hmm.
Him is plural.
Okay.
And it's third person masculine singular.
Elohim.
And plural.
It's plural.
Masculine plural.
Yeah. Third person masculine plural word.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. I didn't even have to. See, I got students here smart enough to do that.
Eam is what?
Eam is plural. Like Hashemayim?
It means plural.
Plural, yeah.
Thank you.
2 and verse 4 now. Let's go one more verse. Eleh toledoth Hashemayim. Wi ha'aris. Bi hib bari'im. Bari'am, that is. Bayom. Asoth. Here we have Ha the Bar, Elohim, Eretz, Ha, we Hashemayim. All right. These are the family histories. These are the family histories. This is the genealogy. Hashemayim, heavens, we et Haaretz. We Haaretz, that is, of and the earth. In the day to be created them, it's plural, in day to reconstruct. What's it say here? Is this created or reconstructed? Reconstructed. Rebuilt. This is a rebuilding. When he rebuilt the heavens and the earth and put man on it. Jehovah Hadavar, the Jehovah Elohim. Here is the whole title of God now. We see the whole title of God. We see it here the first time. Jehovah Elohim. Why? Because we have the Redeemer. Eretz, the earth, and the heavens. And heavens, that is. He who shall become, that's what Jehovah means, isn't it? Where is the word Jehovah fulfilled in the New Testament? Now, the Muslims don't like the Gospel of John at all. They said, first of all, the first chapter of John is totally contrary to everything we believe and everything about God. Why? Why did John write the Gospel of John? To prove that Jesus was Jehovah God of the Old Testament, without a doubt. But they don't want to believe that, do they? Now, the Muslims say that all Christians and all Jewish people are going to go to hell. And they're going to be punished. They will have the Quran read to them when they're resurrected, and then they will be thrown into hell forever and suffer terribly because they have rejected the Quran and God's last prophet. They say some people in the world that haven't been exposed to religion at all will go into a place of suffering and purification, and then they will be read the Quran, and then they can go into a lesser heaven. All right? Man-made religion, that's all I can say. Where did we go from tonight, and where did we go? We went from one twenty-nine, I believe. 129. To 2 and verse 4. And I will see if I can get you some more of those books. It's not nice sitting there not able to look at your books. We have one back in the back. All right, any more questions before I turn you loose on the world? Brother Mike, you get anything out of this tonight? Thank you for coming.
It's one of those things where I may not be able to respond and give an answer sometimes. Yeah. However, what I have found when I speak to other non-Christians or mm-hmm. Christians, I'm able to
expand. Yeah, this comes out. You just regurgitate it right to them, right then. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and go out and do something eternal. All right. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your word. Help us, guide us, convict us of the foolishness that's in the religious world today. And know where to just knock it off like dust and where to cling to those things that are really true. Forgive us for our failure. Help us to be a blessing to those out there in the world. Help us to guard your word with our hearts and in our minds. Help us to be witnesses for you and to lead those to Christ that we can witness to. Help us to be tools for your kingdom. And in your kingdom, help us to be good administrators in this period of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.